Time now for this week's Purdue Field Crop Advisory. With me is Bruce Erickson from Purdue. And Bruce, this is the time of year when we get to do a lot of shopping, kicking of tires, looking at crops and equipment. And, of course, that is going to involve some precision agriculture. This time of year, a lot of the companies are bringing out the latest technology, whether it be in hardware or software, in the area of precision planting and precision agriculture. What is the higher input costs and the higher financial reward from these higher grain prices? Are we seeing more farmers looking at adopting this kind of technology with this whole new level of crop revenue that we're seeing?
Well, you're exactly right, Gary. And what's going on here really is that we've kind of been through the whole process with precision agriculture, and that in the mid-90s when the GPS stuff became available and we started doing the yield mapping and the variable rate technology and those kind of things, with the lower grain prices of those times, many of those technologies caught on, but not necessarily in a big way. But what we're seeing here recently is that a couple of major things that drive precision technologies are if you can save on input costs, that's one part of the equation, and then if you can potentially increase your yields. And those things are not necessarily easy to do, but with both higher input costs and with high grain prices, we have the potential to make those precision technologies more profitable. Because I think the key thing, too, is that for the most part, the markets and the input prices have increased more than the costs of auto guidance and row controls and all these kind of things. And so the payback is relatively better.
Well, because we're seeing two trends at work here. One, as technology becomes more refined and more accepted, the price tends to go down. So we're seeing the price tag on some of this new technology coming down. At the same time, we're seeing the need for efficiency and the benefits from increasing yields go up. So it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's reflected in our estimates for adoption, too. And it's pretty hard to get adoption information on precision technologies, but Purdue, along with CropLife, does a survey every year on this, and we survey dealers. And we are seeing a bit of an uptick, and not necessarily where you might think we're seeing it. We're tending to see it more not so much in the variable rate applications or the mapping type stuff, but we're seeing it more in the on-the-go type things that you get with the individual nozzle shutoffs and the planter row control kinds of things, and especially even in guidance systems. And if you can shave off a little bit of cost when that diesel fuel is $4 a gallon, if you're doing full-width tillage, those things really start to become more profitable.
Well, and again, just the cost of seed and the cost of fertilizer, anytime you can maximize your application, you're really saving money. Are the input costs that we're seeing going up, is that helping to drive this this technology, and do you see that continuing in terms of the trends for higher input costs?
Yeah, and as you well know, we took a big bump this past for the 2008 crop season in terms of input prices. And a lot of that was driven by nitrogen fertilizer and the price of energy or fuel. And we're going to see a similar bump. We've been, you know, having discussions here in AgEcon at Purdue to test each other to see if we think each other is right on these. But our best guesstimate and information we're getting from the government, too, is that fuel prices should be stabilizing some. Nitrogen prices will go up, but maybe not as much as prices for things like P and K. Of course, seed should continue an upward trend, and we also see some increases in pesticides too, like for glyphosate. We're expecting some increases there. So, again, the story is continued upward trend. Maybe not quite as much as last year's spike up, but maybe a bit relatively more on soybeans than with corn. And that's kind of an interesting story in itself, too.
In the past, it was the larger farmer and the early adopter that really jumped into this area. But now we're seeing more and more producers begin to take a look at it, and more of your small and medium-sized operations find a way to make this pay. Do you see this trend in terms of the future of who's going to be using precision technology? Is it going to be something that's going to work for everyone, or is it just going to be for the big guys?
Oh, I think it's going to become more widespread, and you know, like you said earlier, the prices of some of these are coming down, and so a lot of these still depend on economy of scale. But I think that scale has been reduced some, and along with these input prices too, that's going to change the equation. Another thing with some of these technologies too is that some of them aren't necessarily directly tied to dollars. For instance, with guidance, some of our say more senior farmers like that situation because there's less neck turning and less squirming around, and it's easier for them. And those types of things certainly drive it, you know, along with the economic advantages too.
Well, that sort of leads into my next question. The technology just keeps improving. I mean, we're getting to the point where it was square feet, and now we've got down to precision, down to the square inch. And again, the GPS and the computer and the integration between not only the tractor and the combine, but a lot of the implements, the sprayers and the planters and the tillers that go with it, those are now also being tied into this software. So this whole sophistication of this technology is increasing.
Yeah, and Gary, at Top Farmer here a month ago, we had a gentleman that is internationally recognized that was talking about managing every plant. And I think it's going to be quite a few years before we're at that level. But you know, currently we're managing zones in a field. But theoretically, I mean, I know that they're managing in orchards, individual trees. And so I doubt if any time in the near future we'll be managing individual corn plants or soybean plants or wheat plants. But I mean, this technology, like any computer-type-based technology, will continue to become more precise as time goes on.
And again, one of the benefits of this, or one of the results of this technology, is just so much more data. We have so much more data now, and that leads into that whole next realm of how do you use that data, how do you interpret that data, how do you make that data pay off in terms of more efficiency and more yield. So farmers are having to get better at analysis and handling this data since we have all this new technology that gives it to us.
Yeah, and that's been a real sticker point and an area that we need more work on, and something that we have struggled with considerably. And that's a key sticking point with many producers too, because if a producer needs to go, say, collect information in their field, put it into a mapping kind of a software, and then do something different in their field as a consequence of that, that's a multiple-step process that requires a lot of work, quite frankly. And the analysis part isn't necessarily easy. Some people are doing it very successfully that are into that kind of thing. But what we see more in the future with precision technologies are types of technologies that are more automated, I guess, if you will. For instance, maybe a sensor, and some of these things are already on the market, that can go through the field, look at the crop, make a decision, and then apply the input accordingly. Like with nitrogen, we have Crop Circle, and their Green Seeker, and those types of technologies that can do that kind of thing automatically. And this is where you take some of that, you know, burden of the decision away from the crop producer and put it more on the machine. Because, Gary, as we all know, many of our crop producers are farming a lot of acres now and have a lot of critical decisions to be making. And we need to look for ways to streamline their lives and their decisions, not add more complexity. And many cases, this precision has added additional complexity, and we see the simplification route is probably the way that this should go in the future.
Whenever it comes to technology, I'm all for simplification, because sometimes the instruction manuals on these things can be pretty tough. Is there a learning curve? Are we in agriculture getting a handle on this technology and being able to handle this, the learning that goes with being able to implement these new technologies and equipment?
Oh, I think so. Again, many people, I guess, over the course of time have been a little disappointed in the rate of adoption of many of these precision technologies. Most people would have thought that we would be further along than we are and maybe doing some different things. But part of the deal is that, again, crop producers are very busy with other things. And for the most part, a lot of producers didn't go into crop production to sit behind a computer all day and do analysis. Otherwise, they would have taken other careers, you know. So, we do see, if you look at some of the numbers, again, that the adoption is up. Many of the farmers that I visit with are currently using auto guidance. I think the statistics on that show maybe around, say, these are rough numbers, but maybe a quarter of the acres, say, in Indiana are farmed using some kind of a guidance system. Maybe around half of the fields there is some grid sampling done and variable rate fertilizer application, those kind of things. And so things are coming along, but like I say, it's those more automated things where we see the growth occurring in the future.
Bruce Erickson with Purdue. You're listening to Hoosier Ag Today.